So Matthew chapter 1, and we'll read verse 18 when we get there. But today we're going to preach a sermon entitled, Whose Son Is He? And so I told you we were going to preach about Jesus, and this was asked of Jesus in the verse Matthew 22, 42. I'll read it to you. It says this, saying, what think ye of Christ? And I've heard sermons on that. What do you think about Christ? But then the next statement says, whose son is he? And they say unto him, the son of David. The son of David. So it was asked here in this verse, Matthew 22, 42, whose son is he? And of course, we talked about this, I think it was last Sunday night. We've been going through the alphabet and how that all Jesus applies to all the letters of the alphabet. And last Sunday night was on the S's. And we basically used just that letter because there's so many references and points of him in the Bible that start with S. And of course, we used son. And we didn't go into detail, but I did read these because in the Bible, you'll read that Jesus is the son of David. He's the son of Abraham. He's the son of man. God wanted us to know that Jesus Christ was 100% man. He wanted to come down and be just like us. And the Bible says he was tempted in all points like we, yet without sin. So he was 100% man. And when he put, obviously, his effort into it and with God's help, he stayed sinless. But then, so son of David, son of Abraham, son of man, son of God. So not only was he 100% man, he was also 100% God. And we just have to accept that by faith. There's no way to explain that. All right? Just like God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. They're all three one. They're all three separate. You just have to accept it by faith. So he was the Son of God. Then it gives a couple of other implications in here. He was the Son of the Most High. He was the Son of the Blessed. He was the Son of the Highest. He was the Son of the Father. And so we won't take time to read all those verses, but if you want to, on your little Bible app, you can look them up. And it all calls him the Son of God. And so just like Satan tries to take and twist little things, he does it with this. And that's why they were asked, whose son is he? Because he was trying to put a little seed of doubt. It's kind of like he did with Eve. And he said, you know, have you ever eaten of this fruit? No, God said not to. All right. She said, we can eat all the other fruit. There's plenty of other fruit here. We can eat of it. But he said, don't eat of this one. And, you know, just like he does, he put that little seed. Yea, hath God said? Did he really say that? And then he went on to, did he really mean that? Because if you eat of it, you're just going to be smart like God. And God, he's got to be for that, right? And so same thing here. The reason it was asked in Matthew, whose son is he? Because I'm sure the devil had put seeds of doubt even back then. When they could see him face to face, whose son is he? Whose son is he? That's what we're going to preach about today. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day and thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, obviously this question was posed back then in Matthew's day when he was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Whose son is he? And that's what we're going to look about today is whose son were you? In Jesus' name, amen. So in Luke 3:23 it says this, Jesus himself began to be about 30 years of age. And in parentheses in your Bible it says, and was supposed the son of Joseph. So in Luke 3:23, just like in Matthew 22:42, whose son is he? That little seed of doubt. The author of confusion is the devil. And so then we see here Jesus himself, he's been here on this earth. He was about 30 years of age, in parentheses, as was supposed Joseph's son. So just as much as it was going around that he's God's son, it was going around, nah, there's no way he's God's son. He's Joseph's son. And of course, there's several verses in the Bible that indicate that. And it says, is this not Joseph's son? Or in Mark 6:3, it says this, is this not the carpenter? That's what Joseph was. He was a carpenter, and even all the way back in the Bible times, it was almost expected for the son to take over the father's business. Obviously we have rebellion in our world today, and I want to be as far away from the father's business as possible, and things like that. You have both, and so forth. But anyway, word had gotten around. And it says right here, is in Mark 6:3, is not this the carpenter, but it says this, the son of Mary. All right, and so again, so there were some people out there that knew he was virgin born and so forth. And so under the leadership of the Holy Spirit, these were written. Now, I'm going to look at three stages of life here, or three stages of history. And I've said this before, but before Christ was born of that virgin, people had to put their faith in the Word of God that they had. All right, the bits and pieces on the scrolls that they had. They had to put their faith in the Word of God to believe what He was going to do, or that He was going to be born of a virgin, and they had to be saved by faith. He hadn't been born of a virgin yet, but they had to believe Him. Believe on the Son of God and you'll have life. So before He was even born, they had to put their faith in the portions of the Word of God that they had and accept Jesus Christ by faith. In our day, we've said this before, we have to look back at what He did do and put our faith in what He did do, because we weren't there. So we have to put our faith that He was virgin born to be saved, that He's God's Son to be saved. And then in that day and time, you would think, well, this has got to be the easiest time in the world to be saved. The people that heard about the Messiah is going to come, they had to have strong faith to get saved. And those of us that are living in 2024, we have to have strong faith in the Son of God that happened that many thousands of years ago. But back then, when He was right there in front of them, it had to be easy, right? But no, in that time, they had to have faith in the Word of God that they had, that He was God's Son, not Joseph's son. All right? So we see here that the Bible says you have to be by faith. You have to get saved. So no matter what time of history, of course, we're in our day, but they still had to exercise their faith in the Word of God that they had. So He was Joseph's son, born, it says here, is He Joseph's son born of human nature and procreation, or begotten of God through the Holy Ghost and with extraordinary and divine generation? So that was what they had to put their faith in. Was He born of Joseph, just like everybody else is born? Or was He born of God, that extraordinary? And 1 Peter 1:23 says this, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So they had portions of it before He was born of a virgin. They had to put their faith in what it said. That obviously we have the complete record now, but back in the time when He was on earth, they didn't have the complete revelation. They had to put their faith in that incorruptible seed that God had kept preserved for them for their day and time. And so just like God can speak this world into existence, just like God spoke Jesus Christ into Mary's womb, He can preserve the Word of God that has to be there. So Isaiah 7:14 says this, therefore the Lord Himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and ye shall call his name Emmanuel. So in the portion of Scripture that they had on earth when Jesus was here, they knew that it said that. That Jesus Christ, God's going to give you a sign, and my son's going to be born of a virgin. So they had to accept that by faith. Now we're in Matthew 1:18, and so this is where it came to fruition. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin. Hundreds of years later, in Matthew 1:18-25, is when it said, hey, you remember what Isaiah said? Right here it is. And so they had to put their faith in that. Verse 18 says this, now, the birth of Jesus, or verse of Jesus Christ, was on this wise. In other words, this is how it happened. This is what was going on. This is what took place. As his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph. In other words, she was engaged to Joseph before they came together. In other words, before they were married, before they would have ever had done anything that would cause a child to be there. All right, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. And here's where it says in the Bible that that's how Jesus got into her womb. Now, verse 19, it says, then Joseph, her husband, being a just man. So he always dotted the I's and crossed the T's and said, hey, we're Christians. We believe in the Messiah. We're going to do things right. And if you're a young man and you're wanting to have a family one day, follow this example. We're going to do things right. We're going to be just. It's going to be said about us. We're not going to connive and cheat and do things wrong. This is Joseph's testimony. It says here, he was not willing to make her a public example. In other words, he wasn't going, you know, on Facebook and on Instagram and said, this cheating heifer. All right. We were engaged to get married, and lo and behold, she's expecting already. What in the world's going on? He didn't do that. Okay? Which that would happen in our day and time. Who's this guy? I'm gonna go kill him. All right. You cheater and blah, blah, blah. I mean, it would just be on like Donkey Kong. All right? But he was a just man. It wasn't that he was trying to cover it up. And so, let's keep this secret. I know this was a wicked act. You committed adultery and you're going to have a kid with somebody else. But let's keep it a secret. That's not what he was doing. All right? But he didn't want to, you know, make her a public example. And so it says here, was minded to put her away privately. Say, look, there's just no way I can marry you. Here you are with child. What's people going to think about me? What's people going to think about our wedding? We can't do this. And then he goes on to say, but while he thought on these things, and again, that would be some things to think on. You know, they say go and chew on it, chew the cud, think about it, chew the fat, all that kind of stuff. My goodness. This dude was picturing his wedding day. He was picturing his wife, and all of a sudden she comes up with a little belly bump. Okay? And he's like, oh. So yeah, he's thinking on these things. I mean, hard. It says here, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph. I guess he was thinking so hard he fell asleep. Anyway, Joseph. That's what, you know, you wake up your dad. Oh, I wasn't asleep, I was just thinking. Anyway, Joseph says here, thou son of David, fear not. Take unto thee Mary thy wife. For what? For that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost. So again, he came to Joseph and said, Joseph, I know you've been thinking about this. I know you want to do the right thing. I know you don't want to ruin your testimony. But I'm just letting you know. Go ahead and get married. It's okay. Because what's inside of her, that baby, was put there by God. She didn't do any acts of sin. She's not getting the cart before the horse. You know, again, kids, listen to me. You're supposed to grow up, get married, then have a baby. In that order. You heard it at church. Well, my friend, I don't care about your friend. I care what God says. So you date a saved person, you get married, and then you have a baby. In that order. Okay? If there's any question. So, but, and that's what I'm saying. That's why Joseph was all bent out of shape, because he'd been taught that from his preacher and from his parents. And he's like, whoa, that's not how Dad said. That's not how the preacher says. So this is a mess. And so God sent the angel to him and said, look, calm down, Joseph. This is okay. All right, we get all that. And we don't want you to divorce her or break up with her. We want you to go ahead and get married to her because God put that baby in there. Verse 21, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. So part of God's salvation plan. Verse 22, now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of by the prophet Isaiah, chapter 7, verse 14, saying. All right, so he's like, look, we're doing all this because God prophesied in Isaiah's day that there would be a baby born of a virgin. Verse 21, or 3, behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted, God is with us. Then Joseph. He's like, whew, I thought it was a mess of what I was thinking about a while ago. Now you throw in Holy Ghost and babies being put in... I mean, he's messed up in the head. But it says here, Joseph being raised from asleep, did as the angel of the Lord had bidden him. All right, God. You know, again, and that's why Joseph was a good dude. All right, he didn't want to hurt her, but he didn't want to do wrong. But now he's going to do what God said to do. And so he did that and says here, and he knew her not. Okay, so there wasn't any, there wasn't any guessing. All right, that was God's child. No other way there could be a child because God put him in there. And so then it says here, and you shall call his name Jesus. So we see, just like in Luke 1:34, it says this. Then said Mary unto the angel. So that same angel was talking to Mary, not at the same time, at different times. And so he's telling Mary, and Luke, we won't take time to read the whole thing, but Luke 1:34. That angel was talking to Mary. Mary, you're expecting. Yeah, you don't have to go down to the drugstore and get one of those little tests. All right, I'm just telling you. All right, plus, plus, plus. All right, it's all on there. You know, you're going to have a baby. And she goes, and she said right there in verse 34, how should this be, seeing I know not a man? So again, girls, just like Joseph was told, date, get married, then have a baby. Mary, okay, you date. You get married, then you have a baby. And that's what she's like. I hadn't known a man. There's no way possible for me to be expecting. And but you're fine. God put it there. So before Jesus was born, they had to believe in Him by faith from the Word of God that they had. Those that were on earth has to believe in the Bible that we have, put our faith in the Word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So then it says here, those that were back in that day, they were questioning, some of them. Is he Joseph's son? And then even biblically speaking, is he David's son? Is he Abraham's son? Is he God's son? Whose son is he? And that's what they were asking Matthew. And it says here, and there was nearly 100 times names and designations in the Bible that referenced the virgin birth. There's over 100 of them. I don't think we would be bored, but I won't take the time to read them all. But, you know, if there was one instance of, hey, there's going to be a virgin that's going to give birth of a baby and he's going to be God's son. If it was only one time, it would be the truth. But there's over 100 times in this book where it references that and says, hey, Mary's going to give birth to Jesus. So my answer is, whose son is he? He's God's son. All right, and that's what we're going to talk about today, the deity of Christ. You might have heard that statement before. What does deity of Christ mean? Deity is God. In other words, Jesus is God's Son. There is the deity of Christ, and Jesus is God, to make it even more confusing. All right, so we're going to look at three things here this morning and prove from the Bible that Jesus is God's Son. And the first one was, how do we know that? Because He was not Joseph's son. Now, they asked, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Joseph's son? And so again, that was out there. So, but the only time in the Bible where it says Joseph and Jesus in the same sentence or in the same verse, it was posed as a question. Never in the Bible where it does it say Jesus was Joseph's son, period. It says, is this not the carpenter's son? Is this not Joseph's son? I thought he was the carpenter. Question mark. So never does this book say, oh yeah, Jesus is Joseph's son. So how do we know that the deity of Christ exists and it is true? Because first of all, he wasn't Joseph's son. They never knew each other. Nothing had ever happened. So it never says that Jesus was Joseph's son. A couple things under this. We'll see people that question that. First of all, the Pharisees. The Pharisees questioned it. They always going to question. That's what a Pharisee does. They think they got it all figured out. They think they're better than you, and they're going to question everything that you do. Why are you doing it? Why are you doing it that way? Why'd you say that? Why'd you say it that way? And, you know, if you would have just asked me, I could have told you what you should think. And that's what Pharisees do. They think they're better than everybody else. But so they were offended when he was called God's son, and it really ticked them off when it was said this, I have come down from heaven. I don't get that. In other words, Jesus was already there. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus was up there. All things exist by Him, and nothing was created unless He created. Jesus was already there. So now He's saying that I got here by the virgin birth. I came down. Oh, they said, there's no way. That's never happened before. And so they always ask, is this not Joseph's son? Next, we see here that His disciples and the apostles and the prophets called Him by nothing else but the Son of God. So the preachers of the day, they weren't throwing out that confusion. They weren't going, is this Joseph's son or God's son? They didn't pose it that way. They said, He is the Son of God. And so, again, we have the people that preach the truth. So if I had to decide on my belief in the deity of Christ from the Pharisees, or from the preachers? I'm going with the preachers. Amen. And so Matthew writes in verse 18, says here, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise. So he wasn't posing a question. He was making a statement under the authorship or the inspiration of the Holy Ghost. Amen. So he said, hey, I'm telling you, I'm not saying, is this the son of Joseph? No, I'm saying this is how Jesus was born. It was on this wise. Luke, the physician, used two whole chapters of his book that he was under the inspiration of the Holy Ghost to write about the virgin birth. Let me make you think of something. You know why God picked Luke to write that? Because he was a doctor. Exactly. He understood that it wasn't a stork. All right, we'll just leave it right there. Luke knew. All right? He knew. But God, but the physician here, the doctor that, you know, knows if it's a boy or a girl, knows when, you know, 9 months is up. He knows. He says, no, he was God's son. That wasn't by accident. So we see here, he denotes almost two chapters, or devotes almost two chapters, and writing about the virgin birth. And then there was also an elderly woman in that chapter. She was very, very old, and had John the Baptist. And so he writes about that. The doctor that knows, you know, anybody up in years not going to be able to have a baby. So number one, why is the deity of Christ true? Number one, because he's not Joseph's son. Number two, witnesses and events proves the virgin birth. Witnesses and events prove the virgin birth. If you were going to try to prove your case that we're going to talk about in a court of law, this is what you do. You get witnesses. If you can get an eyewitness to say, I was there, I saw it, kudos. Okay? If you got somebody, well, I heard it said, then you have to prove your point. But then if you can get dates and times and situations that took place, that just proves your case. So he said that there was over 100 references and instances and cases where it alluded to the fact that Jesus was virgin born. And we're just going to look at a few of them. Not 100. So number one, in Luke 1:30 through 35. Let's look over there. Let's flip over there a little bit. Luke 1:30 through 35. And of course, this was a pretty important person to talk to, and because it was her body, okay? And so verse 30 of chapter 1, it says here, "And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God." And so, of course, if we saw an angel, we'd be the same way. What's going on? And is this a trick? And so, fear not, God, you found favor with God. "And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb, and shalt bring forth," so obviously the doctor here knew what was going on, "forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. And he shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom shall be no, there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born in thee shall be called the Son of God." And so it's right there. This is one instance, one witness, one circumstance that took place that says, hey, Jesus was born of a virgin, talking to Mary that had not known man. Second one is Joseph. Matthew 1:20, we've already read this. "But while he thought on these things, that same angel of the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go ahead and marry her. She's fine." And then the shepherds in Luke 2. We know this story. If you flip over another page, Luke 2. We'll read verses 8 through 21. And it says here in 8, "And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night." Of course, most of you probably read this to your children at the Christmas time. "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them." So that's the angel of the Lord was pretty busy. He was running talking to Joseph. He was running talking to Mary. And now he's talking to some shepherds out in the field. And it says here, "And the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid." So again, this, I don't know if he got a kick out of it or what, but he was scaring people everywhere. "So the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day, that virgin gave birth today in the city of David, a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." And it says here, "This shall be a sign unto you, and ye shall find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." So again, we see here, this is evidences. This is eyewitnesses that prove the virgin birth. "And suddenly there were an angel and a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, on the earth, peace, goodwill towards men." And it says here, "And it came to pass as the angels were gone from them into heaven, the shepherds said unto one to another, Let us go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to, or is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us." So here's, again, an eyewitness, an event that took place. And they went over there, I'll paraphrase here, and lo and behold, it was exactly like the angel of the Lord said, and there he was lying in the manger. So Mary was a witness, and an event took place in her life. Joseph was a witness, and an event took place in his life. Shepherds were people that saw it. And then we won't take time to read it, but Matthew 2:11 talks about the star, and the wise men were let in on this thing. You remember what the Bible said? There was going to be a virgin born? Well, he's here. All right, and you follow this star, and it will lead you to him. So obviously the wise men were privy to this thing. Then, at that time, Herod was the king. I mean, a godless king heard that there was a virgin born. And he was going to set up his kingdom. And he was going to be the king. And you know what Herod did? He made it a law. Any baby 2 years and under, take them out. So this is an event that would prove that Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. If he was just born of a man, and it was just a fictitious story, what in the world would a king be doing killing all the babies? Next, the heavenly host. We just read it. Luke 2:13. And suddenly, there was with that angel that was busy that night in all those times, a heavenly host praising God saying. So that heavenly host showed up and they were excited. Luke, under the inspiration of God, wrote the story. And God used that doctor to prove his points. Then the story of his virgin birth was amazing. And we need to accept it by faith because we weren't there to see it. We had to believe it. Now, this is what we have to realize. If this is where it started, the devil obviously started back with Adam and Eve and confused them and got sin to start taking place in this world. Then he showed up on this scene and tried to say, whose son is he? You know, tried to put doubt on God's son. And then if people started believing that, he would not have stopped, and he has not stopped. Not only does he attack the virgin birth, he attacks the sinless life of Jesus, right? And all the miracles that he did. He attacks the death. He attacks the resurrection. He attacks his ascension. He attacks his return. He tries to shed doubt on all of that. So why in the world would the devil do all that if he wasn't virgin born? Events and witnesses that prove that he was there. God proved it himself in John 3:16 for God. What did he do? He so loved the world that he gave. He had to have him to give him his only begotten son. And begotten here basically means to generate or procreate or to bring into existence. So God is the one that spoke Jesus into existence. A couple other verses I'll read. John 1:14 says here, and the Word was made flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So we have God's word on it. 1 John 4:9 says this, and this was manifested, in other words, came about, is in existence, is there because the love of God toward us, because God sent his only begotten Son into the world that he might through him, or have life through him. So we see here, God sent him. God's the one that put him in there. So to deny the virgin birth and to ignore these events and these witnesses and from this inspired word of God, it says here, God spoke everything into existence and he did everything that he wanted to do. So Mary asked this question, how can this happen? I have not known a man. Here's the answer. Matthew 19:23 and Mark 10:27 say very similar words. With man, it is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So his word, obviously, he gives credit to what he did. With man, we couldn't have figured out how to get a baby in a virgin's womb. But God can. We couldn't figure out how to save our souls and take us to heaven one day. But God can. So we see that all things are possible with God. So we saw, first of all, whose son is he? He's not Joseph's son. Whose son is he? Well, witnesses in many events throughout the Bible, hundreds of them, say that he was virgin born. And the last thing we'll look at today is the genealogies worded it correctly. Worded it correctly. So when you're reading in Matthew, we read Matthew 1:18 through, but if you read the first 18 verses, you would see the genealogies there. And you would say, well, that would prove he's Joseph's son. They worded it correctly. Listen to what it says here. Matthew begins with Abraham begat Isaac, and Isaac begat Jacob, and Jacob begat Joseph. All right, so that's what it says. And then in Matthew 1:16 it says this, and Jacob begat Joseph, and here's what it says about Joseph, the husband of Mary, of whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. So it didn't say, and Joseph begat Jesus. It said, and Joseph was begat from Jacob, but he was married to Mary, the mom of the virgin-born Jesus Christ. So we see here the genealogy is even worded correctly. Listen to this verse, Galatians 4:4. But when the fullness of time was come, and those of you that's had a baby, you understand that. I mean, you're counting down the days. That first couple of weeks is, woohoo, we're going to have a baby. This is awesome. And then my feet swelling. I can't wear any shoes. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, fullness of time, get here. I mean, I want it 9 months, like 9 months ago. I mean, let's go. Let's get this thing out, all right? And so when the fullness of time was come, Mary, I mean, yeah, it was, you know, God spoke him into existence. They didn't have the act there to have the baby, but she still carried him for 9 months. All right, those sandals were loosened, all right? And that robe that she had was probably flowing and trying to hide the baby bump and all that stuff. So, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of woman, made under the law. And so the genealogy set it right. There's going to be a Savior. The Messiah is going to come through these genealogies. And we see Rahab in that genealogy. We've been talking about Ruth. We see her in that genealogy. But when it comes down to the time when Jesus was mentioned, it said, hey, Joseph was married to Mary. And Mary gave birth to God's Son. That's how the genealogy said it. So Peter knew the genealogies. Plus, he had actually been there and seen Jesus. Listen to what Matthew 16:13 says. It says, and when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he'd heard all this stuff. Isn't that the carpenter's son? Isn't that Joseph's son? Who's he think he is saying he's God's son? He'd heard all this. So he gets into Caesarea Philippi and he asks his disciples, saying, whom do men say that the Son of Man am? So he'd heard the questions. I thought he was the carpenter's son. I thought he was Joseph's son. I thought he was the son of David. And let's look at these genealogies. Let's forget. Oh, he's Abraham's son. Blah, 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 blah. I know they're saying this. So he asked them, he said, who do they say? And they were like, well, and I'm paraphrasing here. Some think you're John the Baptist. What a testimony John the Baptist must have had if they thought John the Baptist that was beheaded had come back. All right, but some think you're John the Baptist. Some think you're Elias. I believe studies show that's Isaiah. Some think you're Jeremiah. Obviously, that's probably Jeremiah. And then some people think you're one of the prophets. So they're not willing, a lot of them are not willing to say that you're the virgin-born Son of God. But they'll give you credit that you're John the Baptist. You do some good things. You're a prophet. But verse 15 says, all right, I know that. I know who they say I am. But this is where we're at today. You may have heard all that, but who do you say he is? And that's what he said in verse 15. He said unto them, but whom ye say that I am. So that's what it's all about. I don't really care what the Pharisees thought. I don't care what historians think. I don't care what doctors other than Luke would say. Oh, that's not even humanly possible. Duh. But the Bible says with God, all things are possible. You know, so I'm going to just throw all that out. And if he asks me one day when I stand in front of him, who did you think I was? I'm going to say like Peter did. You're the Son of God. You're the virgin-born Son of God. So we've got to accept that by faith. And so verse 16, Simon Peter answered. You know Peter. I can identify with Peter. This runs off a lot. I say stupid things a lot. And if I have offended you, please forgive me, because I don't mean to do that. But Peter, man, bless God, I'll cut his head off. And the guy ducked and he got his ear. All right. Well, bless God, even though they crucify me, I'm right there behind you. I got your six. Where was he? All right. So Peter, I get it. But Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So one time Peter got it right. And he was excited about it. Verse 17, and Jesus answered and said unto him, Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona. And this is the cool thing. It says, For flesh and blood hath not revealed that. You didn't figure that out by reading genealogies. You didn't figure that out by listening to all the gossip. You didn't figure it out by studying it or going down to the hospital and looking at the records. But what did he say? Flesh and blood hath not revealed that unto thee. But my Father, which is in heaven. And that proved that Peter was saved. And he had a relationship with God. And God was saying, Peter, this is the way, walk ye in it. Peter, that is my son. Why did those Pharisees, Joseph's son, some miracle worker, they didn't have him. They weren't saved. It's kind of like where the Bible says, Depart from me, I never knew. Well, wait a minute, didn't we prophesy in your name? Mm-hmm. Didn't we do all this stuff? Yeah, but depart from me. Why? Because they were trying to figure it out by flesh and blood and by other means. But Jesus told Peter, Peter, bless your heart. Because you're not listening to the junk and you're not looking at the genealogies. God revealed it in your heart that I'm His Son. And this is where we ought to live. We got to believe it by faith. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10, 17. And the Holy Spirit confirms in our soul. It's called that bearing witness. Like I said, we could go to another church today that's got saved people in it, and we'd know nobody in there. But when their brother Derek got up and started leading the singing, something's going on here. And when their brother pastor gets up and starts preaching, something's going on in here. That's that Holy Spirit bearing witness. So I don't have a problem saying Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. Were you there? No. Did you see it happen? No. But I know it did because I've read in that book and my relationship with Him says, yep, He's the one that's revealed it to me. God didn't come down and osmosis open my head and put it in there and close it back. God didn't come down and whisper to me. No, the Word of God and the Holy Spirit confirmed in my heart that Jesus Christ is virgin born. So the Holy, not only does the Word of God reveal it, the Holy Spirit reveals it. And it says here, doubters of Jesus. Matthew 26:59 says this, and the chief priest, I mean preachers, and elders, oh, the ones that's got some position, and this, that, and the council. You know, so everybody you can think of, the pastor, the deacons, the church clerk, the treasurer, I mean, they're all there. All these spiritual people, right? No, none of us are spiritual. All right. But anyway, it says here, they sought false witness against Jesus to put Him to death. So according to what Jesus said to Peter, hey, history books, flesh and blood hadn't revealed this to you, but my Father revealed it to you. Here's guys with positions that are trying to crucify Him. Again, I know we're not supposed to judge, but according to what He said to Peter, and these guys are trying to crucify Him. Verse 36 or 63 says this, but Jesus held His peace. So the high priest, the chief priest, the council, the elders, they're all, who are you? Who do you say you are? It says here, Jesus answered not a word, held His peace, and said unto him, I adjure. So this is what we're saying. I tell y'all got to make a decision. We don't think He's God's Son. We think He's an imposter. We think this is all made up. And we're preachers. And we're elders. And we're on the council. So y'all decide. I adjure thee by the living God that thou tell us whether thou be the Christ, the Son of God. I mean, the church leadership. Well, He's got to be a liar, right? He's got to have made this up. But Peter, Jesus said, bless your heart, man. God's revealed it to you. So we see here, and then the Pharisees, they jump on board in John 8:42. Jesus said unto them, if God were your Father, you would love me. For I proceed forth and came from God. Neither came I of myself, but He sent me. So Jesus is telling the Pharisees, all this stuff that you're saying about me, if you were saved, if you did have a relationship with God, you'd love me. But it's proof that you're probably not. John 8:44 says this, Jesus told them, are ye of your father the devil? So there's a lot of attack on the deity of Christ out there. But the Bible calls it like they see it. So not only did the Pharisees, now here's some scoffers. In verse or chapter 8 as well, scoffers. It says here, and said, Abraham rejoiced to see in my day. And so then what did he say in chapter 8, verse 58? Jesus answered them, before Abraham, I am. Ticked them off even more. I mean, they're sitting there trying to disprove his deity, and they're like, well, Abraham, he likes what we're doing. You know, we're doing what Abraham did when he was here, and we're just following on in Abraham's traditions and Abraham's footsteps, things like that. And Jesus just said, hey, before Abraham, that guy y'all are lifting up and saying he's all that in a bag of chips, and you think that's what's going to get you into heaven, da-da-da-da, I was here before he was. What? I mean, it makes him mad. I mean, he's just like messing with him. And they said, and I'm paraphrasing here, you're not yet 50 years old. How are you before Abraham? So they were trying to let their faith in God be on in the math books and in the calendars and the genealogies. How in the world could you say you were before Abraham and you're 30 years old? You're not even 50. That's really old, right? And I've surpassed that 6 years ago. Oh. But anyway, I mean, you're 30. How can you be before Abraham? And it says here, and Jesus never excused was never accused of being Joseph's son except by his enemies. So the same, some say, it's no big deal to believe in the virgin birth. I think I've just expressed to you that it is. And people that denounce it and say, oh no, well let's try to figure it out another way. That's what the Pharisees and the scoffers and the people that weren't saved try to do. It is important. 2 Peter 1:16 says this. 2 Peter 1:16, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables. So this wasn't just a little Peter Rabbit story. Let's leave that alone. It wasn't the three blind mice. I'm trying to think of the three little pigs huffing and puffing and all that kind of stuff. That's not what this was. So it was not cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and the coming of our Lord. So we're telling you that he was there, then he came and was inside Mary's womb, then he was born, lived 33 and a half years of a perfect life, died on the cross, resurrected, and now he's back up there. That's what we're saying. Jesus Christ, but we are eyewitnesses of his majesty. So if we're going to give unto the attack of the virgin birth, it won't stop there. We alluded to this earlier. They're going to go after his perfect life. They're going to go after his substitutionary death. They're going to go after the resurrection. They're going to go after the ascension. They're going to go after his returning. And they're going to go after a new heaven and a new earth and living forever. They're not going to stop with his virgin birth. But line upon line, precept upon precept, it is all important. The deity of Christ. Now, all that to say this. Obviously, we showed you biblical things. We gave you some examples. We gave you what he said. But what did God say? If you go back to Jesus' baptism and his transfiguration, God said the same thing. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. So am I going to listen to God or some goofball that's going to try to mix things up? I think I'll just believe God. Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for the opportunity we have to serve you. And Lord, we thank you for being the Son of God. We thank you for coming and being born of a virgin and fulfilling all the prophecies. And we thank you for doing all that. Lord, I just ask you to help us, but Lord, realize that we're on the winning side. Yeah, there's yahoos out there that's going to twist and say all kinds of things. But if we're saved and God's revealing to us what we're supposed to do, that's where Peter was. And Jesus said, blessed be thou son of Bar-Jonah, or Simon, son of Bar-Jonah, or Simon Bar-Jonah. And so praise the Lord. Lord, I just ask you to help us, Lord, to be excited, to be confident, and to know that we have the Son of God living in our heart. In Jesus' name. Let's all stand. Brother Derek's going to lead us the invitation. If you'd like to come, thank God for who He is. Pray about something. Anybody need to join? Anybody need to do anything?